Well, I just completed a series on how Jesus spent his time on earth. I hope it was a blessing. One of the things that I pointed out was the way he spent time in prayer and how we need to do that today, especially for our families and for our country. Well, as I was preparing those messages, going through the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, over and over again, searching, the Holy Spirit kept prodding me to do another series of the major events in Jesus's life. Easter is April 12th this year, and I hope to prepare messages that will lead up to Easter. And Lord willing, I will be covering the main events of Jesus's life. Tell you the truth, I've been so burdened over the fact that many churches today have canceled Sunday school and Bible teaching classes, not because they wanted to, but because of lack of attendance. Oh my, isn't that sad? I guess it all comes down to the fact that families are just too busy to have devotions because both parents working and there's the laundry to do and the cleaning and all of those things. And plus, children are so busy with sports and school activities. Well, as a result, there is a sad lack of teaching of God's Word. So, would you do me a favor? Stay tuned and stay with me, and let's go through some of the major events in the life of Jesus. Maybe something you haven't heard for a long time. And hopefully, I can give you some fresh things to think about. Maybe you've some things you hadn't heard before. And especially, this is my goal, is to encourage you to search the scriptures for yourself. Now, you have to make time. I used to say take time, but it's more than that. You have to make time. And as a result of listening to this series, if I could just encourage one of you to take time to start reading the Bible, it would be worth my time to prepare all these messages. So, as you would expect, the first big event is the birth of our Lord. That's right. And I realize it's only been a month and a half since we celebrated Christmas and all the busyness of buying presents, attending parties, and Christmas programs. The story of Jesus' birth was not only ignored or perhaps became commonplace. So stay tuned, for I think maybe I can give you some interesting facts that you haven't heard before. And before I do that, I want to give you the gospel in a nutshell. Yes, why Jesus came. Because John 3:16, the gospel in a nutshell, tells us the reason. For God so loved the world. And when instead of putting that word, the world, I'd like to put your name there. For God so loved Jane or Susie or Carol or Michelle or whoever. Yes, He loved us, including my name, so much that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Yes, why he came. And so I would like to just start out by giving you something I read in C.S. Lewis's book. Here's what he said, and it really stuck with me. He said, "The Son of God became a man to enable men to become sons of God." Let me read that again. It really stayed with me as I read that. The Son of God became a man to enable men to become sons of God. 1 John 3, 1 and 2 says, "Behold," and I like that word, behold. You know what it means? It means consider a most amazing thing. That's right. So every time you see the word behold in the scriptures, the Lord is trying to teach you and inform you of an amazing thing. And truly, the birth of our Lord was amazing. Well, everyone expected the Lord to come as a king in royal circumstances and not in a simple, humble manger. And only the rich would have received him if he had come that way. It was the way he came that everyone could receive him. Let me read quickly the story from the scriptures. After all, it's the word of God that's quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. And maybe, just maybe, and hopefully, I'm speaking to someone who hasn't read the story and you're not familiar with it. So let me quickly read the information from Luke chapter 2. "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenus was governor of Syria." And by the way, these names are, and times of serving as rulers, are listed in world history. You can find it right there if you doubt. "And it went on to say, and all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, into the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused or engaged wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold," there's that word again, "I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men." And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And I like this last part. "And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child." Isn't that wonderful? They went and told everybody. Why do you think the Lord approached the shepherds and not someone else? Well, I think it's probably because the shepherds had time to see, and they were in a vast area where all those angels could be seen and exposed and could make their announcement. Well, everyone, as I said, expected the Lord to come as a king in royal circumstances and not a humble manger. Let's think about the inn. It was a stable with a feeding trough for the crib for the baby. That's all they had. But guess what? It was all they needed. And his attendants were sheep and donkeys and barn mice. Think about it. No one else was there to appreciate the coming of baby Jesus. And there were no baby clothes. No, just rags. I looked up some history in my books that tell about Jesus' day. And the Bible says that Mary wrapped baby Jesus in swaddling clothes and laid him in the manger. And I found it so interesting that swaddling was not just a matter of wrapping a child in something warm. No, it was also a method of restraining an infant's movements to ensure that its arms and legs would grow straight and strong. So traditionally, for at least the first 6 months of Jesus' life, those long linen strips of cloth were tightly wound around his body, preventing also him from thrashing his arms and his legs. Once a day, I read, the baby was loosed from the swaddling clothes and washed and gently rubbed with olive oil and dusted with powdered dry myrtle leaves and then securely wrapped up again. Did you know that swaddling is still customary today in some rural areas in the East, and also in parts of the Soviet Union? And while I was doing my research, I also learned that shepherds would wrap the baby lamb in swaddling clothes to protect it from bruises and damage. Because remember, the lamb was to be offered on the altar of sacrifice, and it was to be without blemish or any defects. Isn't that interesting? So swaddling was very, very important. And another thing that I learned is that the shepherds where Jesus, where the Lord approached them and the angel was there. Did you know that there are only two angels in the scriptures that were given names? Yes, that was Gabriel. You know the other one? Yes, it was Michael. That's right. I'm looking over my computer here, and Pat was whispering, "Michael." And that leaves me without time, but please, could I continue on? Did you learn just a little bit?
Yeah.
I hope you did. I'd like to continue on my next broadcast, okay? God bless you, and have a wonderful day. Bye-bye.